Democrats in New Hampshire hold a major fundraising dinner tomorrow, with at least 5 presidential hopefuls scheduled to appear. New Hampshire's importance on the road to the White House is legendary in its half-century of leading the primary calendar. With less than a year to go before the 2004 primary, the Democratic candidates are working hard to influence the prospective supporters and build in-state organizations. New Hampshire Public Radio's Dan Gorenstein reports.
It's February in New Hampshire, and for the next 11 months, the state will be inundated with presidential candidates and the news media for the first in the nation primary scheduled for next January, and the courting has begun. In places like this, House Democratic leader Peter Berling's home in northwestern New Hampshire. In just 1 week, Berling opened his elegant farmhouse to both Massachusetts Senator John Kerry and, on this particular day, to former Vermont Governor Howard Dean.
Governor, it's a pleasure to have you here. We have, obviously, a turnout of interested folks. I was worried this early in the primary season.
But this is only one way the candidates are reaching out to New Hampshire Democrats. State Senate Democratic leader Sylvia Larson says they also like to use the phone.
Governor Dean has called me. Senator Chris Dodd of Connecticut has called me. Congressman Gephardt has called me. I've received calls from Senator Kerry. I have met with Senator Edwards, although he has not called me. Pretty much the entire field. I left off Senator Lieberman. I didn't mean to do that.
The rash of calls to Democratic movers and shakers like Larson and Berling is a clear sign that the first phase of the primary has begun. Dayton Duncan is a longtime political activist in New Hampshire. He worked for Walter Mondale during the 1984 primaries and Michael Dukakis 4 years later. Duncan knows how this process works.
The first is the sort of the courtship phase of it, in which a candidate tries to make him or herself known to the hardcore activists and tries to persuade as many of them as possible to join his campaign, and that will form more or less the backbone of their organization.
Duncan says the second phase involves connecting with voters.
You go to a coffee in somebody's living room and talk to 20 people, and out of that 20 people, 2 or 3 of them are so overwhelmed by your qualifications, your personality, that they say, I want to help you. And a month later, you come back to the state, and those 2 people have now talked to, 10 other people.
One of those already committed is Debbie Butler. She likes Howard Dean, whom she met when she was visiting a nursing home.
Halfway through his little speech, I just had this kind of visceral reaction that this was the guy. This is the guy. It's been a long time since a Democrat wasn't backing off of Democratic principles and Democratic values and homogenize what they're saying.
But presidential candidates are pursuing more than just worker bees. They also want well-connected people who know which house party to attend. Democrats like Jim Demers. He's currently a prominent lobbyist who once ran for Congress, and he's a good friend and supporter of Missouri Congressman Richard Gephardt. Gephardt describes Demers as invaluable.
He has had an active role in New Hampshire politics for a long time. He knows everybody and has relationships with a lot of the important activists in the state, and he can be my eyes and ears, someone to relay information back to me and tell me the important things to get done as we put the campaign together.
House Democratic leader Peter Berling says candidates also want to bag the big names.
They want the power of my endorsement. They want to be able to say, I've picked up the following people, all of whom are prominent Democrats, and I've got more than you do, so I win. Yeah, 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 yeah.
While the wooing and seducing goes on here, much of the national media coverage at this stage seems to be focused on identifying a frontrunner. That may be a bit premature for Dayton Duncan, who dates his primary experience back to 1972.
The only thing that you know that is going to happen for sure is that something unexpected will happen in it, and that conventional wisdom, particularly 1 year out, often turns out to be no wisdom whatsoever.
For instance, consider the case of one Southern Democratic governor. He didn't even enter the race until 4 months before the primary. And while he didn't win New Hampshire, he came in a solid second. Who was that? Bill Clinton. For NPR News, I'm Dan Gorenstein in Concord, New Hampshire.